There's a new prairie area to walk in Story County. Thanks to the Carroll family, 49 acres of West Indian Creek have been dedicated to our prairie streamside heritage a few miles northwest of Nevada. On Earth Day, April 22nd, there was a dedication with a wonderful memorial to Lorna Carroll's father. There was a slight rain with wind that Earth Day, which impeded the recording, so Lorna was kind enough to come by the KHOI studio to record her thoughts from that day.
Tell us about the Carroll Prairie.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me here. I actually wrote a speech that I read at the dedication. Should I begin?
Yes, please.
We came together on Earth Day, April 22nd, to celebrate a new place in Story County for people to appreciate the natural world. Carroll Prairie is named after my dad, Tom Carroll, who most of you never had the great pleasure of meeting. His nickname was the Gray Ghost, which coincidentally is the nickname of the Northern Harrier Hawk, which is an endangered Iowa raptor that likes grasslands and low-lying marshes. My dad died in January of 2013, and I wanted to find a way for my family to honor him. My dad was an Irish immigrant who came with my mom to Chicago in 1959. And like most immigrants, they came here with very little. And through faith in God and hard work, they built a life here. Dad joined the Local 150 and worked in construction till he retired at the age of 70. Together, they raised a family and were now scattered across the country, living and working and raising our own families. My dad was the classic Irish character. He loved to drink and to smoke, curse and laugh and tell stories and sing funny songs. He was the life of the party, and he enjoyed a good crack more than anything. He could insult people with a twinkle in his eyes, and he got away with it because people couldn't stay mad at him. Dad did not seem particularly interested in the great outdoors while we were growing up, and picnics or nature walks were few and far between. But what he did show me, though, was a kindness towards any animals that he encountered, be it wild or domestic, and a strong sense of ethics in his dealings with people. He rooted for the underdog, and he had no time for people he couldn't trust, or people who were only interested in what he called the almighty dollar. He knew what was right and what was wrong. I strongly feel the same way. Protecting what little natural land is left is right, and in this time of climate change and contaminated water, continuing to do business as usual is wrong. This land always felt to me like an oasis, and whenever I spent time out here, it felt as though the land was breathing and that the ground was resting. I felt a spiritual connection to God and appreciation for the good things that He created here. And if I squinted, I could see what it was like around here when people coexisted with nature instead of dominated it. How beautiful and diverse it used to be. I recognized I was not able to improve the prairie that's here on my own. I also wanted to ensure that it would stay in its natural state and try to protect the butterflies, the insects, and the birds that I saw here. My good friend Cindy Hildebrand recommended contacting the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation for advice and direction. They're the ones who told me about Iowa's conservation tax credit. The same tax credit that for some reason has recently been under attack at the State House. The conservation tax credit is the only reason that I could afford to do this, and it was the only reason that this group was standing there today on April 22nd for the dedication. I'm so very grateful to INHF, who took on purchasing and protecting this land until Story County Conservation could fundraise. I'm so grateful to Story County Conservation for the work that they did in acquiring it. And I am also grateful to the other partners who helped in purchasing and fundraising. I want to encourage both Story County Conservation and INHF to keep up the good work. You are doing the right thing by trying to protect, to educate, and give Story County residents a chance to enjoy what little natural land is left. And I want to encourage and challenge landowners in Story County to consider protecting some of their land as well, to do whatever they can to try to reverse the effects of climate change, to help improve water quality in our area, and work to return some of the land around here to its natural state. And hopefully, the gray ghost will soon find its way to this little prairie, find that habitat acceptable, and maybe even become a resident.
And it was about halfway through that an excellent birder here in Story County, a wolf ostrich, turned and said, "There's a northern harrier."
I know.
Yeah, it kind of took everybody's breath away.
Yeah.
And when you mentioned the northern hairy, I thought, oh, what an indicative bird.
Yep.
That they nest in the prairie.
Yes.
They're the only hawk that nests on the ground.
Yep.
So right. To have it fly by was just, oh. And I might share the address. This is at the intersection of Avenue 610 and 200th Street.
Correct.
So we're a couple miles east of the Milford Township School on E-29.
That's right.
Yep. And then a mile south. And it's right on Indian Creek, a major watershed of the water course that goes right through our county seat, Nevada. And in a sense, the inhabitants of Milford Township and Story County own West Indian Creek.
Yes.
Are you aware of any of water testing?
We bought the land in the early 2000s. But prior to us, monitoring the water when it enters the property and when it exits the property didn't show any change. And the theory was the water was going through too quickly. It had been straightened. And even in the time that I've owned it, it has oxbows and it has some curves in it. And it's starting to get some of those back naturally. So we're hoping with the restoration that it'll be kind of more zigzaggy the way it's supposed to be, which would allow more filtration and more settling of the water.
You seem to have interjected a sense of sacred responsibility.
I do feel a responsibility. I'm a Catholic. I'm a practicing Catholic. And Pope Francis wrote an encyclical called Laudato Si several years ago. And in it, he pointedly says, we have an obligation to care for God's creation. It's really important that we do. And, you know, the land came into my ownership, kind of a gift. You know, people have taken an interest in it. It has these prairie remnants on it, but it was never formally protected. And this was something that came into my life, combination of kind of the perfect storm of me getting this, the conservation tax credits, the directive, you know, from Pope Francis that we really need to do what we can to protect what's left. So that kind of helped spur me in that direction as well. Creation isn't ours to do with what we please. It's just not. We have a responsibility to care for it as a principle of our faith. I would like to encourage people to explore the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation and consider becoming a member or supporting them in some way. I know that they have worked with farmers who are facing retirement and perhaps don't have family members wanting to take it over. They have precious land that has been in their family for generations, and they found peace in working with INHF to know that the land was going to be managed or not developed. INHF is really careful about making sure that people's wishes are met. So, you know, it's an honorable organization. It's something I feel proud to be a member of. It's similar to the way the Nature Conservancy works on a national level, Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation, they work with all the players. They try to come up with ways that it's mutually beneficial. Farmers can still continue to make a living. The land can be protected at the same time. The soil runoff can be reduced. They really try to work with everybody who has an interest in a particular piece of property. The great thing about the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation is they will, oftentimes, precious pieces of property may come up for sale for one reason or another, and the local conservation boards can't rally that quickly. They don't have such a store of funds to purchase it. So INHF will oftentimes step in, purchase it, and hang on to it until either Pheasants Forever or the local conservation or other hunting groups can do the fundraising that it takes. And that's exactly what happened with this piece of property.
As Lerna Carroll mentioned, the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation played a key role in transferring her prairie farm to public ownership. I wanted to learn more about the Tax Credit Incentive Program. The 2019 legislature placed public lands under attack with a Bill 542 to restrict the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation from assisting farmers when they wanted to add to public lands in Iowa. Here's Abby Hay Terpstra, Landowner Relations Director, and Joe Jajak, Communications Director with the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation in Des Moines.
My name is Abby Hay Terpstra, and I'm the Donor Relations Director here at Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation.
And you met Lorna Carroll through the Carroll Prairie?
Yes, Lorna had already started making some inquiries about what to do to protect the prairie, and I had the opportunity to meet her for the first time. I think it was the winter before the donation went through, and we were able to sit down with her in her living room and hear a little bit more about what the land had meant to her and her family and why she wanted to seek protecting it. And then she took us out there, too, for a walk around there. It was a beautiful, clear winter day. Snow was on the ground. We walked out there through the snow down the path, and the land is beautiful. Lorna describes it kind of as a bowl, and when you walk down into that bowl, you just are surrounded by a sense of peace. It's a nice sized property, one that is very accessible. You can explore it in a day, no problem. But when you're there, you really feel like you are in a special place. It's large enough that it holds that sense of what a prairie could be. So a wonderful experience to be out on that land with her.
What exactly were you able to share with her in that initial meeting about how to approach a public ownership of Carroll Prairie?
There's a number of different options if people want to protect their land and make it available for the public. What Lorna chose to do was use a bargain sale, and that means that she sold the land to us for a reduced price and was able to receive a tax credit on the difference of the value between what she could have gotten for that land and what she did get for that land. Some people donate land outright. Other people, the land is an asset that they need to have some income off of.
Over the last legislative session, the Iowa Natural Heritage Foundation was essentially singled out. And Joe, please give your name and then your role with that legislation.
I'm Joe Jajak. I'm the communications director here at INHF. And you're right, Pat. There was a lot going on during the legislative session this year. And a lot of it centered around public land. And over the last 40 years, INHF has been in the middle of the creation of a lot of public land in Iowa, both at the state and county and city level. And so I think the people that were singling us out, we're really zeroing in on what they see as a competition for land. So there were a few bills proposed. One was eventually passed that, in essence, is going to make it harder to create more public land in Iowa. And I will say that from where these bills started to the one where it ended and was passed were vastly improved to the credit of a lot of legislators and a lot of people that worked to improve these bills. For instance, the bill that did pass, it is in regard to one specific program, the State Revolving Fund, and it does not allow INHF or similar private conservation organizations to use these low-interest loans to hold land that will eventually go public. And we did away with that program, which is unfortunate because it was a good program for public land, especially for water quality, which is really what it was intended for. But I will say that that bill, when it was originally introduced, included doing away with the conservation tax credit. To their credit, the legislators that introduced and managed this bill heard from people that have benefited from this tax credit, both on private land protection and public land, and saw the impact it would have. And I think that they recognize the value in that. So it's an incentive for sure for people to protect land, but it helps public agencies create more parks and trails and wildlife areas around Iowa as well. It's a program that has multiple benefits. It makes it easier for families, for people to be able to donate land, to be able to do protection on their own land. But those savings from a bargain sale, for instance, like we had at Carroll Prairie, those are passed on to our public partners and save taxpayers' money in the long run, too. So it's really a good program, and I think that legislators recognize that, and we're grateful they did.
Will that be the end of it?
I don't think that's going to be the end of it. I think we're going to see more bills of this nature introduced in the future. But I think the heartening thing is that when we saw a bill that was a direct attack on public land, it was really an egregious bill all around, a House File 542 that was introduced early in session that would have made it hard to expand parks and wildlife areas in any way around the state. We saw hundreds and hundreds of people come to the Capitol on a couple days' notice and tell their legislators what public land means to them. It became clear pretty quickly that public land holds a special place in people's hearts. everyone makes special memories out on parks and wildlife areas, and we don't have much of that in Iowa. We're consistently ranked near the bottom of percentage of public land here, and so those few places we do have or are able to build on are really special, and it's important that we work to protect those and expand on those. But there are people that want to make it harder, and we're not going to see the end of that, but we know that there are a lot of people out there that are going to fight for public land and for conservation in Iowa, so that was great to see this year.
I really want to thank Lorna and the landowners like her who have a special place in nature that has been part of their family and see the value in opening that up to the public. I think there's a desire to have a place that feels like your own, and it takes a special person to see a place that is unique and will benefit from having the public welcome there. And that kind of vision is something that I am so honored to be exposed to at my job here at INHF. Private conservation is also very important in the state of Iowa, but making those available to everybody, that's really special.
And Lorna would want me to include, I hope every visit includes a Northern Harrier.
Yes.
Like at the dedication.
Yes.
Day.
When we have a dedication of a special place like Lorna and landowners like her, that it's really the culmination of years of work on behalf of landowners, INHF staff, Story County Conservation, or whatever public agency is creating a place like this that's going to be open to the public. And so I want to thank them. But I also want to say how important it is to talk to your legislators. That's not a thing that's natural or comfortable for a lot of people, but there are a lot of ways that you can stand up and advocate for or fight for conservation, public land. Protecting these places is important to our growth and our future as a state. There's so many reasons, economic development and public health and water quality. And now, when legislators aren't busy, is the perfect time to talk to them about that, instead of when they are dealing with 20 other bills at the same time and you have to tell them this very important thing during session. The off-season is the perfect time to talk to them. And I hope everyone just takes the opportunity to fight for these things. And so to find your own way to advocate for those things, I think, is really important. The animals, the plants, and future generations that aren't here to talk about what it means to them. We like to say that we are a voice for the voiceless.
This environmental update is sponsored by the Outdoor Alliance of Story County, Story County's Conservation's Friends Group, working to enhance outdoor recreation, education, and conservation. Information can be found at oasco.org.